The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Welcome to Red Leg Nation Radio, your home for discussion and analysis of Cincinnati Reds baseball all year long. Now here's your host, Chad Dotson.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Red Leg Nation Radio. This is episode number 234 of the World's Most Dangerous Podcast. I'm your host, Chad Dotson. Joining me again this week, his second appearance on the podcast, and absolutely not going to be his last. Good friend of the podcast, and as I love this quote. I want to go ahead and drop this. As Bootsy Collins, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Bootsy Collins says, he's the new spiritual warrior for the funk. He's also a huge Reds fan, and it's Freak Bass. How are you today, buddy?
Oh, man, I'm doing great. And I just want to make sure I got this straight. We're here to talk about superhero movies, right? Is that's what the podcast is about? Didn't it kind of shift into that?
That's funny. You stepped on my next line, which is I was going to say you're a better musician than I am. You are a bigger Reds fan than I am, and you're a much bigger superhero movie fan. And we may touch on that at some point because you're my go-to guy when it comes to superhero movies.
Oh, my gosh. To a fault, unfortunately.
That's all right. There are worse things you can be obsessed with. But what do you think? We maybe talk about the Cincinnati Reds a little bit before we start?
I would love to talk about the Cincinnati Reds, yes.
Now, you've been on the podcast before, and I went to look to see when it was, and I can't believe it was before the 2017 season. We haven't had you on since then.
Wow, I didn't realize that. Oh my goodness. Wow, time flies when baseball seasons pass, I guess. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. We've talked about it a little bit. Having you on. You were on episode number 159. And so any of you that didn't listen to that, when you go back and listen, it has a lot about you talked a lot about your formative experience as a Reds fan and how you got obsessed with them and some things. Why don't you just, for those that haven't listened to that, sort of tell us about your history as a Reds fan so they can get some context about where you're coming from.
Well, like I'm sure a lot of people that listen to the show, I grew up in Cincinnati, played baseball a little bit as a kid. And I always joke when I got to a certain age, I wasn't quite good enough for baseball, so I took up bass guitar instead. I figure it was kind of in the same, sounded the same. Both my parents, especially my mom, was a huge, huge Reds fan too, a lot. So she's kind of the one that kind of brought me into that world. And, I always started going, playing obviously the game and then going to start seeing games like nonstop, obviously like the 90 World Series was kind of like my early days of kind of starting to like get obsessed with the team. And then, starting my mom telling me about the other days with Pete Rose and Johnny Bench and all those people. And, a few years I kind of got away from it, but then I got it. And once I got back into it again, it got to obsession level, like I'm sure most people that listen to this podcast have. And they've been a love of my life for better and for worse for many years now.
Mostly worse.
We'd like to, I'm a glass half full type of guy. So I'll try to stay on the positive as much as I can.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm usually the same way. But they beat me down the last 8 months or so. These Reds have beat me down. You can beat me down. It's pretty bad.
This season was rough, and I know we're going to talk about this later in the show. But part of it obviously it was the playing side of it too. But I think a big part of it too is just especially with the age of social media that we're in right now, and you're distracted by so many things. Not just the Reds, but just baseball in general. Again, I know we're going to talk about this more later in the show, but you know, just there's so much competition, even in the sports world, there's so much competition. I'm a huge NBA fan as well. And there's just certain ways that those kind of things get your eye and the way that baseball does it. And I think that's part of it, too, as well, you know, as well. But again, we all know winning solves everything. And then, you know, probably next year, hopefully next year, we'll be having a whole nother conversation that, you know, maybe makes a lot of this stuff we're talking about tonight moot.
I hope so. And before we get too far, I want to go ahead and give you a chance to mention something. We'll mention it again at the end here, but for those of you that are listening, because we're not only just big Reds fans, we're big music fans. And if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, our intro music actually is performed by and graciously permitted us to use it as our theme song, performed by you. And you got a big show coming up here soon in Newport, right?
Yeah, I mean, we don't play, you know, we're on the road quite a bit anymore, and so we don't get to play Cincinnati a whole lot anymore, and so we are playing the day after Thanksgiving, so we call it Funksgiving. It's Friday, November 23rd. This will be our fourth year there at the Southgate House Revival over on 6th Street in Newport. An amazing, if you've never been there, it's an amazing venue. It's just like really old church still with the stained glass windows. It's a beautiful place inside. It's a great place to see a show too as well. And so this will be our, I believe, like I said, our fourth year there. We're playing there Friday, November 23rd. It's an all ages show too as well. So if you've got kids or you are a kid, you're more than welcome to come. And I got a great group called Strange Mechanics opening up. We've got this girl, a lady by the name of Sammy Garrett, who is from an amazing band out of Brooklyn, New York, called Turquoise. Her quite a big buzz band in the scene right now. Her and I started working together a while back, and she's been doing touring with me now too, as well as being in like the videos and songs and stuff. So she's actually flying in for the show too as well. So we're going to, and we got all kinds of crazy special surprises that night, which, you know, hopefully you'll come there, and I don't want to give everything away, but it'll be a special show for the hometown show. Definitely.
Outstanding. And Red Leg Nation Radio, you've been listening to Freak Bass all the, even if you didn't know it, for every single week as you listen to this show. And I'm going to ask you, go check him out on YouTube as well. And don't let me down. This audience has never let me down. I want you to go see him. And if you get a chance, I want you to yell out Red Leg Nation Radio. No.
Oh yeah.
Right.
For sure.
but if you get a chance, let him know that you heard about it here. Absolutely do that, because we got to support our fellow Reds fans. Okay, so now we'll come back to that maybe later, but right now I want to talk about the Reds. And the first thing I want to discuss with you, and we had some things we wanted to talk about, and I kind of dropped one on you right here before we went on the air, so you've not really had a chance to prepare, but I do want to get your thoughts. The Silver Slugger Awards were just announced today, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
And Eugenio Suarez, I think, and Scooter Jeanette were both finalists, I guess, at their positions as well. They should have been fantastic years for both of them, but they didn't win. And I sort of didn't expect either one of them to win, but Michael Lorenzen didn't win at pitcher. And I just want to know, are you as shocked and appalled as I am that Michael Lorenzen didn't win the Silver Slug? Not that it means anything, but for
sure. I just don't know. I mean, how can he have not? I mean, you almost forgot that he was a pitcher, you know, sometimes when you see pitchers hit, and you know, they'll get a few lucky swings here and there, you know, when like Bronson, well, how many years ago was that now? But it was Bronson got that home run, and you know, and going way back, and let's go back to, I guess it might have been like early 2000s, but I remember when Danny Graves got the big home run down at Houston ballpark to win a game.
You are going back, yes.
I know, it was embarrassing. I remember the night like it was yesterday. Can't remember what I had for lunch today, but I can remember stuff like that. But with Lorenzen, though, it wasn't just a matter of, like, he wasn't just getting some lucky swings here and there. I mean, this guy, you know, I mean, as we were talking about during the season, I mean, he could, you know, what position can we stick him in so he can hit on a regular basis? I mean, he was, you know, balling on that. So I was definitely, I thought it was almost going to be a semi-given for that. And so literally, like you said, right before, I literally just got the little Twitter alert on my thing about that. So I'm just still kind of processing it right now. But, you know, what are your thoughts on that? Because you've had a little bit more time to kind of sit with it than I have.
Well, you know, I mean, we're partisans. You know, we want the Reds to win every
year.
And so sometimes I wonder, am I a little bit too partisan? Am I not seeing this the right way? But you go look at everything. It's just, it's crazy. Here are a couple of stats. German Herman, I guess. I don't know how you pronounce his name. I don't even know that. Marquez of the Rockies won the Silver Slugger for pitchers. He had one extra base hit in 65 plate appearances. Michael Lorenzen had 34 plate appearances and hit 4 home runs.
Right.
Fangraphs has this stat. Our buddy Doug Gray tweeted this one out. Fangraphs, they have a stat called offensive runs above average. Michael Lorenzen led the National League pitchers in runs above average. Offensive runs above average, 3.0. Second among pitchers in the National League was Brandon Woodruff with 0.6. So, I mean, no one was even close to Michael Lorenzen. And this is a dumb thing to get upset about. But, hey, we got to demonstrate some passion where we can.
Right. And it's the off season now, so we can do that, right?
Yeah, this is all we have to talk about. Well, this is not all we have to talk about, actually. It's been a pretty interesting off season for the Reds so far. But
Yeah, definitely.
I was similarly upset last week when Billy Hamilton didn't win the Gold Glove Award for center field. The fifth time he was a finalist in center field. And once again, he lost to Ender Inciarte of Atlanta. And you know well I'm a Billy Hamilton partisan, and you probably get offended when I call him a comic book superhero because you have an affinity for actual comic book superheroes. But what do you think about not only Billy Hamilton getting sort of robbed, but also Adam Duvall, former Red, but he didn't get it in left field again, third straight year as a finalist, and then Joey Votto didn't get it at first base, and I think it was his third or fourth time as a finalist. He has won one. Do you have any thoughts?
Sure. Yeah, he won in the year he got MVP, right? Didn't he win in 2010 that same year?
I think he won in 11 the year after.
Oh, was it 11? Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
I thought it was the same year. That sounds right.
I'm always right. Like, haven't you listened to this podcast?
I know that. Definitely. it was just, especially Billy Hamilton. I mean, it's like, what more can the guy do? I mean, I don't really know. And he played, you know, almost a full season. I remember it was last year, the excuse kind of was, well, he was out for a good chunk of the season. And so maybe that had something to do with it. But, I mean, he probably played, at least 150 games this year. I'm guessing I'm probably close on that.
Yeah.
At least.
You're right. 2 or 3 years there, it was like, well, you know, he got hurt down the stretch and that probably hurt him. But that's not the excuse this year.
Yeah, and yeah, so yeah, you'd like to think that it has nothing to do with market size or where they were in the standings, because it's not supposed to be that. But sometimes you got to. I mean, I remember a few years ago. Yeah, you got to wonder. I mean, definitely when I think it was was it 2 years ago when Votto didn't, and it was I'm totally drawing a blank. First baseman from the Cubs right now.
Anthony Rizzo. Yes, you're right.
Yeah, Rizzo got it, and it was like Votto's stats were like, you got to be kidding me. And it was the year they won the World Series. So, you got to sometimes wonder if that had a little bit to play into it. So, you know, hopefully by the end of next season, like that'll be all moot because we will be high enough in the standings so you can't just ignore the Reds. I mean, it's been crazy seeing how much national press, just with the, you know, all the talk about the payroll increasing, how much the Reds are in every conversation now you see on Twitter right now with all the national sports guys. So, who knows?
Isn't it great? I mean, it's been a while since the Reds have really been active in the offseason. And so far, the way I put it is, and we'll talk about the individual moves, but everything they've done so far has been pretty much exactly what I was hoping for.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And, with the hitting coach and also the Turner Ward, I mean, from what I've read about him, I mean, he increased their run production from the prior year. They were first in home runs, second in walks. And it's just, you could just go on down the list. And it's obviously you don't think the Dodgers are just like, hey, we're just going to let you go. I mean, the Reds had to, you would think, outbid, the Dodgers. I mean, they probably have all the money in the world to sign him back if they wanted to. So it's pretty encouraging to seeing what's happening. So, I mean, obviously the final test is going to be what pitcher ends up landing here, but so far it's looking pretty darn good, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And if you haven't heard the news, that was the Reds hired we talked last week about, and I want to get your thoughts on the pitching coach and the manager hire as well, but the Reds hired a new hitting coach, second coach on new manager David Bell's staff is Turner Ward.
Yeah.
He's been the hitting coach for the Los Angeles Dodgers, and he's been in the Diamondbacks organization as well as the Pirates organization. And he played 12 seasons in the major leagues with the Indians and Blue Jays and Brewers and about 7 other teams. But he's been with the Dodgers, who've been in the for the last 3 seasons, he's been their hitting coach. They've been in the postseason each season. They've been in the World Series each of the last 2 years. And the quotes that I really enjoy here are the quotes from the Reds front office and from the guys that they've hired. Turner Ward had some very similar quotes to what we heard when the Reds hired their pitching coach. I guess that was last week, Derek Johnson, away from the Brewers.
Yep.
And Dick Williams said, you know, we went into this offseason committed to putting new leadership in place in the clubhouse, and they identified really the best available guys that they thought they could get, and they went hard after them. And neither of these guys were guys, you know, Turner Ward from L.A., Derek Johnson from Milwaukee, who are on winning teams, who are in comfortable situations that weren't, you know, on the verge of being fired or anything.
Right.
And they went in there and they wowed them with what their plans are. And that's what impressed me was both Ward and Johnson said, you know, they're getting a payday out of it. But they also said the vision for this organization going forward under David Bell, it's something I really want to be a part of. And that's the Reds are never that team where, you know, that people are dying to work for. And to me,
sure.
I'm looking for reasons to be excited, but am I wrong to be excited about that?
Well, and tell me about this. We always hear about the length of a contract for a manager, you know, but do we know, like, both Turner Ward and Derek Johnson, do we know, I mean, do they have the same length of contract as David Bell does, or is that information that's not, we don't even know about? I was just curious that or is that based off just with whatever the manager wants to keep holding on to? I don't know how that works. Do you know?
I haven't seen it reported what his contract length is.
Okay.
But I'm sure it's of significant length.
Sure.
You know, yeah. It's got to give him enough comfort on a professional level to leave an organization. I mean, he goes from first place in the National League West to last place in the Central. But of course, Turner Ward says, hey, look at this offense. They're a pretty good offense. And he's right. He has a lot to work with here. And so it's exciting to jump on this ship, maybe.
Sure. And then you would like to think, too, with the Derek Johnson hire from last week, too, that, you know, promises were made to him. Obviously, money was probably the biggest, but that we're going to go do A, B, and C. So it's not, you're not coming here and getting egg on your face too, either, you know? So, you know, cause it's part of it, obviously it's his reputation. Obviously he feels enough confidence in some of the, like the Louis Castillos and people like that. Sure. And our staff that obviously he can work with them and hopefully, you know, bring them to another level too, which will be awesome.
And also the Reds have made a commitment to him that he's basically going to be the pitching coach for the entire organization. He's going to get a chance to change the philosophy and to implement a philosophy from the major leagues all the way down. And that's got to be, you know, exciting for a guy to have that much. That's probably the most powerful pitching coach in the game, really, to be allowed to do that. And I think it's smart from the Reds' perspective because clearly there has been a problem in developing young pitchers. And so at least they're trying something different. I don't know if it's going to work, but they're trying something different. And that's a reason to be excited.
Oh, totally. Yeah, definitely. I mean, the next couple of months are just going to, it's been a while since, you know, it almost feels kind of 2010-ish, 2011-ish, like, you know, in terms of what's going on with them bringing in, you know, new talent here too as well. And again, going back, you were talking about the manager question earlier with David Bell. I mean, that's got to probably play into both, you know, Turner Ward's and Derek Johnson's decision. Again, I know probably ultimately money's the biggest factor, but you know, whose staff they're going to be a part of too as well. And I'm sure that, you know, it seems like David Bell's got a really solid reputation from everybody you read about the hire. I'm sure he would have had the Reznot got him. I'm sure he would have got, you know, snatched up by someone else. And, super happy that he's here too as well. I mean, what a positive way to get on started on a, you know, a good foot for sure.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right about David Bell. Clearly him being in place here and the new philosophy he brings to this organization is something that appealed to both of these guys. I mean, they both said it and I have no reason not to believe it because they both left, as I said, comfortable positions to come here. And just seeing the Reds decide that we're going to go out and get the best available guys. I think they thought David Bell was the best available manager. And you can make that argument because you're right. Other teams wanted him and were willing to pay for those guys. Now you're not paying what you pay for a coach is not what you have to pay to go out and get a free agent pitcher, certainly.
Sure.
But at least it's the Reds stepping up and saying, you know, if we keep doing the same things, we're going to keep getting the same results. Something's got to change. And it looks like an organization wide shift in philosophy that, you know, I'm trying to sort of tamp my expectations down. But somebody texted me the other day. Actually, I'll just go ahead and say it was Bill Lack, who is one of our co-hosts occasionally on here.
Sure.
And he said, he texted me, I guess it was probably yesterday, he says, after Turner Ward, he's like, you know, the Reds, I'm a little worried here. The Reds are actually starting to get me excited again.
I know. Yeah.
And you went back, you went there. You said you're starting to feel like the 2010 bunch is maybe turning the corner towards something like that.
It feels like that. I mean, there's definitely that feel in the air too as well. And you like to think that, you know, even these last couple seasons, you know, we obviously don't know what happens behind the scenes or what the long-term plan is. You know, you try to read between the lines as much as you can, but, you know, maybe, you know, they, you know, did have, sometimes you got to think maybe there was more of a vision than maybe we thought. Maybe this was like, okay, now, you know, we're here 2019 season, and now let's put all the chips on the table and, you know, let's go for it. You know, maybe they just didn't think last year. I mean, we would have loved them to put all the chips on the table last season, of course, but maybe they just felt they just needed one more year to check out this person or that person or, you know, and, you know, now we're here and, you know, let's hopefully strap in and, you know, go along for the ride.
Yeah, I still firmly believe they could have done this last off season, but just the fact that they're actually finally doing it. Is exciting. About David Bell, you know, what were your thoughts when he was hired? Because we heard a lot of criticism about, oh, here we go. It's the same old thing. It's nepotism. We've got, you know, his dad and grandfather both played for the Reds. Same old Reds bringing in an insider. And I didn't see it that way at all. What were your thoughts when you heard David Bell was the new manager? Did you have any sort of instant reaction?
Yeah, I mean, I was really happy by the move too as well. I mean, you know, there was a little part of me, and I'll be honest with you, there was a little part of me that was like, just because of the Yankee affiliation with, you know, the Girardi thing, it was kind of like, oh, that'd be kind of, just because you knew what kind of media would come, you know, with him being here, that would have brought just like instant so much focus this on national media, at least for a certain time. And of course, I was thinking of the, you know, when Terry Francona went over to Cleveland too, it kind of had that tinge to it, you know, too, as well.
Sure.
Going to an up and coming organization like that. So there was a little part of me that was like a little bit disappointed by that, but I don't mean picking David Bell as well. I mean, I was like, I remember that, what was it, 2002, when the Giants were in the World Series, and when he was playing, you know, I think he was on that team. I remember I was always fun to watch. And as a player, he was always fun to watch, and everything you hear about him, what he, you know, about with stats and his whole philosophy with baseball, it seems like he's the right guy for the job. He's in that right age bracket too. He's not too far detached from the player's age, which I think is kind of in the world we're in right now. I think that's kind of a good thing in the modern age of baseball. So, you know, on paper, it looks great. And the name thing, I didn't worry about that at all. I mean, I think it's great. You know, the tradition, I mean, I know that everybody thinks, you know, getting with Cincinnati so steeped in the tradition thing here, and some people think that might be to a fault sometimes, but if it works in the right way, I think it could be a very, very positive thing too as well. And it's a great story too as well. So hopefully the story will have at least a semi-happy ending this coming season.
Yeah, I mean, there's some value to that from a PR perspective. I don't have a problem. I think the Reds do as good a job as anyone of you know, talking about the history of the club and celebrating the history of the club. And frankly, you know, David Bell's grandfather is one of the better Reds, Gus Bell, that have ever played here.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Buddy Bell was a really good major league player, an all-star player who played briefly for the Reds, got hurt at the end of his career, and a rookie named Chris Sabo took his spot, one rookie of the year. But what I keep saying is I just really think it does a disservice to David Bell to say, oh, he only got it because of his dad and his grandfather. Because I think he just was an incredible candidate, as evidenced by the fact that he was a serious candidate for other coaching jobs, places where his grandfather didn't play, you know. So, but he's a local guy, and he wanted to be here too. And that's I think we may have gotten a little bit of a hometown advantage over other teams because of that. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with that, because I think he's fully qualified on his own, and you're right.
Well, it seems like he's real hip to sabermetrics too as well. I mean, from all the articles I've read about him and stuff like that, he's definitely on that new age of baseball too as well, which I think is, you know, exciting too.
Well, I think nowadays what you want, I think, out of a manager is a guy who is open to all the new analytical stuff that's going on that's probably ruining baseball. We'll talk about that in a moment.
Right.
But but also is able to communicate to the players. And what you said earlier, he's a, you know, a youngish guy who used to play, and so he's going to have some real credibility in that clubhouse. And so if he can take this, all this information, and translate it onto the field, which I do not feel like the Reds have done very well at that in the past. I think that's a, I don't know. I'm all in on David Bell. I don't know if he was the absolute 100% best candidate. Maybe Girardi would have been better. I don't know. But I do think he was a good candidate, and I'm all in. I'm excited to see how he does.
Right. Right.
Now, before we get to the topic of the show that you and I had planned to talk about, I do want to drop something else on you that we didn't discuss ahead of time, and I'm sorry. But you just mentioned, you talked about the history of the club, and they announced this week, the Cincinnati Reds announced their plans in 2019 to celebrate 150 years of professional baseball in Cincinnati. And they showed,
I saw that video they did with Marty. It was incredible.
Wasn't
too.
Great?
Yeah. Oh gosh. It's like bringing tears to the eye watching that. It was pretty amazing. Yeah. Oh,
very slick. And that's what you can do when you've got a history like this club has. And I love that they celebrate that. The way I put it was, this team celebrates their history. They celebrate, being a fan, their fans, They do just about everything right, except actually putting a good team on the field, this organization.
Right. At least for the last couple of years, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Did you see some of the throwback uniforms they were talking about they were going to wear?
I did. I think C-Tren or someone tweeted someone they're out there too. They're even going to wear like the blue ones, right? The ones from like the early 1900s that had like the blue as well.
1911. Yeah. The blue road uniforms. I love it.
Right. That's wild. Yeah. So, and they're going to do that throughout the course of the season then, right?
Throughout the year. Yeah. Correct?
Yeah. Different, yeah. I love it.
I do too. I mean, I love stuff like that. We want to see him win. That's number one, but I love stuff like that. I just wish we didn't have to see the 1995 uniforms again. I love that 95 team, but those white hats with the red pinstripes, man, that was just awful.
Oh yeah. I forgot about that. And then what late 90s were the ones with the black, with the black, a lot of the black incorporated,
yes,
right? During like the Dimitri Young days and stuff like that. Yeah. Yeah.
They are wearing 99 throwbacks as well from the, that fun 1999 team, but I just wish they weren't wearing those 95s. Oh, those are awful. Rob Dibble always said that he felt like the good humor man, like he was going to go sell ice creams after the game in those white hats. So.
Right. I do remember those very well. Yeah.
So anyway,
that was when Jeff Brantley. Whenever you see pictures of him, I think he's wearing that uniform, right?
Yes.
When he's playing for them. Yeah.
Those vests and Brantley's got that great mullet.
Yeah, that's right. Rocking that mullet. Yeah.
Rocks it hard. Ugh. But so anyway, that's a fun thing. It doesn't have anything to do with how the team's going to be on the field. And it's it's been a rough few years. We can acknowledge that while still saying that we're huge fans of this team and we're going to be watching in 2019. But let's go to the topic of the show here that you and I had discussed earlier. And I'm really extremely interested in your thoughts on this, because during the playoffs this year, even over the last couple of years, I'm big into the sabermetrics. I love that stuff. But I've started to come to think that maybe it's not the most, most spectator-friendly sport, when it's a bunch of home runs and it's, strikeouts. And, I know it's efficient and this is the way it needs to go, but it's not the best game to watch sometimes. And so you suggested it, and I think it's a great idea to touch on how can we make baseball exciting and relevant for the 21st century? The Reds attendance was down this year, the lowest it's been since 83, I think it was. And it's now all over baseball. I don't think baseball's dying, but I do think if they don't think there's some kind of an issue that needs to be fixed, they're kind of whistling past the graveyard. What do you think? How do we make it relevant? That's the word you used. How do we make it relevant for the 21st century and the kiddos?
Right. Well, I think right off the bat, I mean, I know in the music business, one thing that, that they always teach us now is like, you want to, everything's so niche, now, and especially, and everything part of our life right now. So what you want to do, like in what I do, for instance, like if I could tap into, say, every funk fan out there in the United States, it might not fill up a stadium of 30,000, but you'll get a good crowd no matter where you go in the United States and beyond. So basically tapping into your fan base as much as you can. And I think with baseball, it's kind of the same thing. Like the more that they can kind of like turn everybody, even the casual listener or watcher, excuse me, into like a super fan as much as possible, and making them get into it as much as they can, that will be a good thing. Now, number one, with the MLB package, you know, right off the bat, like the MLB, and I don't think it's changed, but the last, you know, it used to be when you buy the MLB package to watch baseball, you can get every team but your home team. And I think it's still like that. And I understand why, because of probably the rights with Fox Sports and all that kind of stuff. But I think baseball is the only sport. I know NBA you can do it on. I'm pretty sure you can do it on NFL. You can watch any team you want to, like, on your phone, you know. I can't get a package where I can watch the Cincinnati Reds on my phone. And that's where 90% of the people are living right now, you know, whether it be, you know, whether on the road or whatever the case may be. So that right off the bat, if there's a way, you know, I know Rob Manfred was talking a few years ago about fixing that and making it. And I don't think it's, I mean, am I speaking wrong, Chad? I think you still can't, when you buy the MLB package, you're not able to get your home team anymore. You can get every team besides your home team.
Yeah, you're right. The blackout rules are still such that if you live in Cincinnati's market, you can't get that. And it's crazy, because you're right.
That is crazy. Yeah. I mean, the world we're living in, it's like, it does not make sense. And NBA's not like that. And you see how, like, NBA's, in my opinion, is probably going to take over even NFL here in the next few years, yeah, if it keeps at the same rate, you know?
Well, I was looking at the NBA package earlier thinking, I'd like to get, you know, I'm a big 76ers fan. And, Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. And I'm looking at it and thinking, well, you know, it's not a bad deal just to get the Sixers game. Maybe I'll get their games. You can get the package just them. And yeah, of course, I don't live in the Philly market, so I don't know. But I know that when you try to get Cincinnati games, and that's a huge market, the Cincinnati market, that's a lot of fans that can't get it. So I think that's a great idea. You're forcing quote unquote fans to be sitting on their couch, basically, and watching the game. And that's not the way people consume media these days.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's a huge thing. Obviously, that's not just a Reds thing. That's an MLB thing, you know? So I just don't, I remember Manfred saying they were going to talk about switching that a couple years back. And I thought that was, you know, I thought by now that would be the case. And it seems like it still hasn't switched. And I'm sure, again, I know there's so many rights things going on, but make it, you know, no one's even going to want to watch the Fox Sports broadcast if you don't get people just interested in general. So it's like, the more you can do that, I think that's one thing too. One thing you've heard you guys talk about on your show quite a bit too is market the stars more. I mean, I don't know how many people outside, you know, with me, I tour a lot, and you know, people kind of know the name Joey Votto outside of Cincinnati, but you know, I can name almost every star in every NBA team, whether I will follow that team or not. And I can't really, even as much as a baseball fan as I am, I can't really say that with every single baseball team. And, it has a lot to do with the national marketing of, I know it's a different sport, and I know there's so many different factors involved too as well, but it's just, you know, you could say someone like Joey Votto, maybe Joey Votto doesn't want to get marketed, but I mean, I would think that there's, you know, they even try, you know, they did this, you know, a few years ago when they signed the big contract with him, it seems like they were kind of on that route to do that. But it's, that just seems like so many missed opportunities for, you know, whether it being them going on a, you know, national talk show once in a while, or, you know, whatever the case may be, but they just basically need more national ambassadors to the game, you know, like on a national level. And I don't feel like there's enough of that in MLB.
Yeah. I compare it again with the NBA. I've got a son who is completely obsessed with basketball, wants to play year round. You know, he's watching all the stars, their highlights on YouTube and on Instagram every single day.
Yeah.
And he's pretty much obsessed with playing baseball. He's been playing baseball almost year round as well. He's been wearing us out since he was 6 years old, and loves playing baseball. Absolutely loves it. But, you know, I had a an Angels game on, and Mike Trout's playing, and he's like, whatever, you know. And he doesn't want to watch the Reds on television with me really usually either. But he will watch these NBA guys, and not necessarily sitting down in front of the television and watching their games, but he sees the Instagram highlights, and he sees the way that there's so many Instagram accounts and YouTube accounts that are just hopping, and the NBA does it. The MLB won't let you put anything on YouTube if they don't license it, But the NBA, man, it's everywhere, on Twitter as well. And you know, and of course, basketball is a little different. It's maybe more of a,
sure,
you know, it's easier to get highlights for that. But I don't know why you can't market a guy like Mike Trout. I'm sort of flipping it around, you know. I mean, Joey Votto to
and
me
Mike
should be.
If Mike doesn't want to have his own Instagram account, that's fine. But you have someone else do it for him. You know, just like, here's Mike, you know, here's a live Facebook live video of Mike taking batting practice and, you know, talking to the fans directly for 5 minutes or whatever the case may be. I mean, more of that kind of stuff, just so they're in the same world that we all live in. You know, I mean, there was good and bad about this, but one of the recent stars of the last few years who was actually kind of tapping into that a lot was actually Brandon Phillips when he was here with the Twitter thing, you know?
Sure.
I mean, I know there were good and bad points to that too as well, but there was, you know, he was definitely, you know, tapping into that social media, and he was very active there on social media, and a lot of people, you know, obviously you saw how Adam and his fans were here in the Cincinnati market, but also even outside of Cincinnati, he kind of started getting, you know, a more of a kind of a national profile part. You know, obviously it all comes down to your play. That's the main thing, but it's like still with the social media aspect as well. I think that had part of it to do with it. Why he was, you know, all the talk show people and sports people and stuff, they're looking at social media just like we are. And if they see somebody active in that world, then it creates interest.
That is a great case study for exactly what you're talking about. Brandon Phillips was a good player. You know, he was an all-star player. He wasn't a superstar, but he was an all-star. Yep. He was a good player who smiled and who was willing to sign autographs. And the rest of them, he would show up anytime they needed him to do any kind of public appearance or anything like that.
Yep.
And on Twitter, he was just, you know, he was Brandon Phillips and accessible. And,
right.
And so, you know, I understand if guys like Joey Votto don't want to do things like that. I get it. But also, you have to understand that we're not in a world where it's the national pastime where, you know, everybody is paying attention. And so you've got to market some of these guys. There's some special guys right now. Mike Trout could be the best player that ever played this game. Joey Votto could be the best, probably is the best hitter that ever played for the Cincinnati Reds. That's, you know, if you can't market that, it's crazy. And you've got to go to Instagram. You got to go to Snapchat. You got to go to where the eyes are now. They're not on your television anymore. They're not in the newspapers. So, I do think that I think that baseball can do a much better job marketing their personalities. It's a different game than basketball, but they have something similar, which is you can see their faces. They're not wearing helmets. And you can see their personality on the field. And
you know the thing they do, I don't mean to interrupt you, Chad, but you know the thing they do sometimes when they have the person wear the live wire out in the field, you know, when they do that during the course of a game?
Love it.
Do that, but even do, like, you know, you could do something where you go have them do a Facebook Live actually at a game, you know, like, you know, you get the little notice on your phone when someone goes live on Facebook, mm-hmm. like Joey Votto's live on Facebook. I'm like, what? Joey Votto's live on Facebook? What's this about? And here's Joey Votto standing at first base, you know, during a crucial part of a game, and you're seeing it right now live on, you know, let those highlights happen on, you know, I know there's all the licensing stuff with MLB and Fox, and I get all that, but just, you know, let those kind of moments where it's like, what, you know, everybody's phone's blowing up with this major, it's, you know, I remember back when Barry Bonds was, you know, having the big home run chase, you know, back in late 90s, early 2000s. And it was like, I remember them breaking in on, like, I was watching, like, you know, CNN or something like that too as well. And they were breaking in when he was up at bat. These are just on regular TV channels. This is not sport. This is not ESPN. This was like on, you know, regular TV. And they would break in when Barry Bonds was at bat, you know, and everybody, you know, obviously we know there's a lot of, you know, with all the steroid stuff that, you know, that's a whole other conversation. But in terms of the excitement that whole thing generated, you could do that tenfold now with social media, that same concept. But, you know, when so-and-so is on a hitting streak, you know, like this is their, you know, here they're at bat. Well, let that zoom in on your Facebook Live or your Instagram Live or Twitter Live or whatever. It's like, so everybody, it pops on everybody, even people that aren't necessarily hardcore baseball fans, that will pop up in their feed. And then that gets the whole conversation started too, again.
Well, you know, at the All-Star game this year, they had a bunch of guys like mic'd up and talking to them during the game,
right?
And things like that. And yeah, I know baseball's baseball, and they'll never do that, it seems like, in a regular season game. But that was fantastic. They're talking to Charlie Blackmon out in center field in the middle of the game, you know, and he goes to get a ball, and he's still talking to him. And, you know, things like that are exciting as a fan. It's something new, and it gets you a little closer to the action on the field. And baseball, they're going to have to change something, because as we said about the Reds, if you keep doing the same thing that you've been doing, you're going to get the same results. And, you know, it's things are not looking good right now if they don't sort of learn how to market to where the eyeballs are these days.
Right. And I even think, even aside from the player aspect of it, you could do maybe something where, like, say you and I are going down to Great American Ballpark, and we could do kind of like a Facebook Live type situation, but actually on MLB's or the Reds site, where you're actually like, hey, I'm walking into Great American Ballpark right now, or are you and me watching a game, freaking out because, you know, whatever, it's you know, tied in the ninth inning with, you know, two outs and whatever the scenario is, but you can actually see the drama of the fan at the game while it's happening. You know, everything about social media now, it's like you want to be there when it like, that's what's exciting about it. Like, this is happening right now, and you can watch this right now. And it's like, if they and baseball does have those, you know, we both know baseball has those moments where you're, you know, biting your fingernails off. And if you could kind of somehow capture that, whether it be the fan at the game or actually like zoning in on the actual action itself right when it happens, and it shows up on people's phones right then, you're just going to automatically generate all this interest for it right off the bat, for sure.
And the nature of the game is, it's, I think in a lot of ways, it's not a fast paced game, but that sort of lends itself to being able to get closer to the action in some ways.
Yeah.
I think you could utilize these things to get you in, you know, you have some intern, you know, with their camera focused wherever you want to focus, or a microphone on someone, and you can really, I think, can, you know, you sort of see the personalities more, and you can get the viewer closer to the action, to feel like, even when I'm sitting, you know, somewhere here in the middle of nowhere watching on my phone, I can feel like I'm at the game. And
right.
And baseball does not do a very good job of that.
Well, I always thought it would kind of be, just how, you know, just how we're sitting here talking on this podcast, if there's a way, and I know that, again, legal issues, but like, if you and I, like, say if you and I could go down to a game, and we could sit there, and we could be kind of our own kind of amateur broadcasters, like, hey, I'm at Great American Ballpark, and, you know, Luis Castillo is throwing a no hitter right now in the eighth inning, and we could go on our Facebook Live and start tapping into that without,
broadcast,
you know, doing some kind of print broadcast. Basically, yeah, be kind of like a pirate broadcast, but like, you know, it, like, have MLB embrace that. Don't like try to like, no broadcasting from MLB or you will be penalized, you know, or whatever, that type of thing. Just like embrace this
yes.
era we're in. You know, it's kind of like almost the music business got in so much trouble because like when the whole Napster thing happened and you know, and now with streaming, everybody, it's like, you know, oh my gosh, you know, streaming, this is going to, you know, ruin it. It's like, the genie is out of the bottle, and you can't put that genie back in the bottle. And just so the ones that are having the most success, especially like, you know, on things like Spotify and stuff, is they were embracing the technology. So embrace the technology and realize this is the age we're in. I mean, I think baseball really caters to social media if you do it right, you know?
Yeah. And you're right. The legal issues and the rights issues that's an issue right now, but it's a different world. We're not in the 1950s anymore. It's time to sort of update our agreements, so when they come up and do things that are going to help introduce the game to a new generation and help sustain it as we move forward. So I love the idea of, you know, just being able to do a little broadcast or something, because it's just another way to get someone engaged in the game. And right now you just can't do that. But the sports league that tries to do things like that the quickest, and I think it's going to be basketball because they're always ahead of everyone else when it comes to social media and all this.
Yeah.
That's going to be the sport that's going to succeed.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts, ways to make it relevant for the next generation?
Well, I mean, you know, besides all the social media stuff, I think even you can kind of lean into, you could, with the social media thing, you could even lean in tradition a little bit more, like in this case that I still think you would generate more, like with all the interleague play we have, you could go back to keeping a little bit more American League plays, American League, National League plays, the National League. And then when they do finally meet in a playoff situation, or maybe once a year, as opposed to like a constant rotation type thing, you could, again, hype it through social media, like, you know, these two juggernauts from the National League and the American League are meeting for the first, the one and only time this year, or whatever the case may be. I mean, there's just so many, you know, hype opportunities that you could brand it with all these things, the Instagrams and Twitter and obviously Facebook and places like that too as well. You mentioned about the YouTube thing. I mean, one of the little notes I had here to mention to you is, like, I think it'd be really great if each team had its own YouTube channel. And then whether it be, you know, watching someone taking batting practice, you know, you can go live on YouTube, or it could be tape stuff. You could just go and just, you know, the kids live on YouTube right now. You know, my daughter, I have a 13-year-old daughter, and that's all she does is watch YouTube, and she's all these stars that she's, like, I've never even heard of. And they're all stars through YouTube. That's where they live right now.
She doesn't watch Dan and Phil, does she? That's who my daughter
she watches. She watches, what's the one? Brett and Link, is that right?
Yeah.
And
my son, I got a son the same age as your daughter. That's who he watches too. Oh my goodness, those guys are crazy.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, and that's the world that we're in now. And, me with my superhero movies, I watch so many, you know, reviews and stuff like that. These people that were just like, you know, people were probably originally doing them out of their bedrooms, but now they've blown up into some big thing. But like, you know, MLB, like, that's where people, you know, a big, big chunk of the target audience you want to hit for the future generation is living on YouTube right now. So you should at least have, I mean, one person designated, whether it be per team or per all of MLB, whatever. I mean, it'd be great if each team had their own YouTube channel, but at least MLB really, like, embraced that side of, you can go a YouTube exclusive, you know, whatever, you know, a talk with Joey Votto on why he, you know, what he thinks about before he goes to bat or whatever, you know, the case may be, but like, make it a YouTube exclusive type thing and really drive the folks to that place.
Yeah, or here's Eugenio Suarez on the field before the game, you know, we're talking to him, or in the clubhouse afterwards, or Billy Hamilton just came off the field, you know. Teams can allow however much access they want to. And some players are going to be willing, you know, between innings even, to talk.
Sure.
It seems like they're really leaving some, not just money on the table, but just opportunities on the table.
Yeah.
You're right. That's where the eyeballs are.
We
have a son and a daughter, and we recently cut the cord here at the house, and we had DirecTV for, you know, years, and finally just got rid of it and went straight streaming. And I was talking to everyone in the family about, well, what channels do you have to have for us to pick out a streaming package? And my wife had a bunch of channels that she wanted, you know, Home and Garden and whatever she watches, the cooking channel. She has things.
Sure.
I just basically the sports channels and movie channels. But I asked my kids, and they were like, what are you talking about? You know,
right.
And I knew that was going to be the answer, but I wanted to see if there was anything that they actually wanted to watch. They don't watch any. They've got profiles on. We got a streaming service. They got profiles on. They've never even logged on. It's all
right.
Either Netflix or YouTube or Instagram.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it.
Right.
That's where they consume their media. And that's where you got to go get those eyeballs. And Major League Baseball is not doing a good job getting their eyeballs there. Whereas the NBA is doing an incredible job.
Oh yeah. I mean, NBA. And you know, and I know that with the Twitter thing, I know it's like, you know, I remember, like, Jay Bruce had the Twitter account, and then he pulled when he went through a little slump there, you know, and went through some hard times. It, you know, people just can come at you like that. But, you know, it's a drag probably, but, you know, it's just kind of part of the world that you're in. Yeah, it is what it is. And again, you can always have someone else handle your Twitter account. It doesn't necessarily have to be you. But although I do think that with the people that are the most successful on those type of medias, that, you know, like the Twitters and stuff, mm-hmm. like that, you know, especially the big name superstars, whether they be in the NBA or they be in movie or music or whatever, are the ones that handle their account. I think people can ultimately read through if someone's just kind of, you know, got some handler that's doing all that. I mean, the thing that's what makes social media so special is the fact that, you know, oh, wow, that's actually this real person on there, you know, and you know, actually talking to me or saying their opinion on this or that, you know?
Yeah, you can do it in a way if the guy doesn't want to do it. You can do it in a way where there's someone else handling the account. You can still give some sort of personal access to the personality.
Sure.
But you're right. Brandon Phillips, again, the ones that are actually, and the first one that really embraced it hard on the, in terms of, entertainment was Ashton Kutcher, who I don't like anything that guy's ever done, but man, that guy knew how to leverage social media to make him a sort
of. Wasn't he his big claim there for so long on Twitter that he was the first person to 1 million followers on Twitter? Yeah, yeah.
Because he embraced it, and that's what these sports leagues have to understand. Instagram's the big one for basketball. I think a lot of them,
for
LeBron
sure.
and Dwayne Wade and a bunch of them have really sort of embraced it. And I remember there's a guy that played basketball at a school close to here who was in high school last year, and he's now a freshman at Georgetown. And the biggest thing around here was he had a post on Instagram, and LeBron and Dwayne Wade both liked it, and all the kids were they didn't care really about, if this guy's a really good player or, where's he going to go to college, all this stuff. They're like, oh my gosh, LeBron and Dwayne Wade liked his post on Instagram,
Perfect example. Like what would happen if, Suarez or Votto or Lorenzo or whoever, like if you were a Reds fan and you're, posting something about the game and especially someone like Joey Votto, who seems like so untouchable in a lot of ways, like he would liked something that, you just, there's that little connection made then,
And you make a fan forever in a lot of instances.
That's it. That's it.
You really grab them. Yeah. Just a like, just go on there and hit that heart.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts before we wrap up this topic on ways to sort of make baseball more exciting and relevant for the 21st century?
I think we covered a lot of it. I think the embracing social media thing, and the Reds are great. I will say that about the Reds. They were on, with the Twitter nights they have down at, Great American, and they really embraced that whole thing. They were specific nights for that. And I think that's great. Their social media is like nails down there. Obviously Jamie and Lisa Braun and everybody down there are just incredible with, and the way they did, helped push all-star players using hashtags and stuff like that. It's great stuff. But it seems like, if MLB just, the whole organization kind of took that to heart.
You got to go all in.
It'd be a really good thing. You do.
Yeah,
you do.
From the top all the way to the players. You just got to go all in. Because, again, that's where your eyeballs are now. The ones that are sitting on their couch watching, their cable stations through Comcast or whatever, are your 60-year-olds.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to offend any of you that are in your 20s and subscribe to Comcast. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying, though, is that at some point, it's not going to be cable channels anymore. It's going to be online, and it's going to be streaming, and it's going to be these social media channels. And you can ignore that if you want, but you're doing it to your peril.
Right. Yep. So.
All right. Well. Okay.
Do we make it all the way through a show? Is this your first show that there's? What is that? Wait a minute. There's that pitcher. We were talking about.
What's his name? I know who you're talking about, but if you can't remember, I won't make you say it. But
no, I don't think I can say it. It wouldn't have the same effect. I bet he's got an Instagram account.
If he does, I want
to check.
I want you all to send me his Instagram account if he has one. Of course, Freak Base, proving that he is a devoted listener and friend of the podcast. He's talking about our guy, Luis Alberto Ambonia.
Yes, I have to get you to say that and sample that and put that in a song here point.
If you do that, you've created another fan. I'm already a fan, but that's exactly sort of the personal connection.
There you go.
What's the
no viewer mail tonight, huh?
No viewer mail. You're right.
Oh my goodness.
Right. I could probably find a few. We've had some people emailing us. Where do you stand on the ongoing debate, viewer mail versus listener mail?
Well, I guess to go on with to piggyback off our conversation here, I guess at some point Red Leg Nation is going to have a YouTube channel at some point, and then you will have the official viewer mail, right?
I've thought about that, but the problem is nobody wants to look at my ugly mug.
Puppets. There's your puppets. Yeah.
If they listen to this ridiculous accent, surely they can look at my face too, right?
Exactly. Oh, yeah. You've got a great speaking voice. Yeah,
something like that. Tell me, if I've never watched a superhero movie ever, and I have, I've watched a bunch, but if I've never watched one, what's the, and I'm dropping this on you without preparing you, and I apologize for that, but what movie should I go watch first? What superhero movie should I go watch first?
That's actually pretty easy, actually. The Dark Knight by Christopher Nolan.
Ooh, yeah. The Dark Knight. I love me some Christopher Nolan, but I don't know that I would have said The Dark Knight.
Yeah, well, too dark in terms of the content?
No, I liked it, but if I'm answering that question, and again, I'm admittedly not a superhero movie, obsessive like you, although I like them. I watch them all. My son loves them, and so I go to every one of them, and I generally like almost all of them. I would have probably said Batman Begins.
Well, that's obviously the first of the trilogy. Yeah. And, it's funny because I got in a big conversation with someone as well as following you and all my Reds fans on Twitter. I have a little contingency of a lot of guys that do podcasts, superhero podcast. There's one, Holy Bad Cast. There's one called the Suicide Squad Cast, Fanboy Podcast. Great stuff if you're into the superhero thing. But we talked about Rick Hsu, who actually does Batman on Film, which is another great podcast, the first of the podcasts there. I think it was him. He was talking about Batman Begins was on AMC, and he's like, every time that movie comes on, he said, it doesn't matter what I'm doing, I can't watch it. And I said, Batman Begins is the Shawshank Redemption of superhero movies. It's kind of got that vibe you just have to sit down and watch. Yeah, that one, it's a close one. Those two are close too as well. There's no doubt about it. I mean, the third Nolan movie, not so much in my opinion, but definitely the first two. And obviously Dark Knight has Heath Ledger's unbelievable performance as the Joker in it, which is unmatched, at this point. Although the Joaquin Phoenix, I don't know if you know about this one, but Joaquin Phoenix is doing a Joker movie next year, which I'm very excited about.
Yeah, I'm not as excited. I mean, I love Joaquin Phoenix, but here's why. I like pretty much I can't think of a superhero movie that I've seen, and I've seen just about all of them recently that I didn't like. But it's been a while since I've found one that I really loved, and I think I'm getting a little bit of superhero fatigue. Tell me I'm
sure.
Crazy.
No, I can see that. There's definitely that going on, but that's the thing that's so exciting to me about the Joker standalone movie with Joaquin. It's not it's Joaquin Phoenix. I mean, that's huge right there. But two is the budget for the movie I read is only $50 million. Now I know it's only $50 million, but for a superhero movie, that's nothing. So what's that tell me? That means it's not going to be a CGI fest. It's going to be it's going to be more based on writing and directing, those are the ones that I like. Another one, I was almost, when you asked me about The Dark Knight, I mean, when you asked me about the movie next to The Dark Knight, what came in a close second, well, Batman Begins, of course, but was Logan, too, as well, which is, about Wolverine.
That's
one I could watch nonstop. Wow. That just knocked me out. Yeah. Because I like the ones that are, that could be real. And again, they're not, that's why I watch a lot of the Marvel. I'm more of a DC guy generally because the Marvel ones, Marvel has their formula and it's great and they're always entertaining, but they're always like cotton candy to me. It's like I'm loving it when I'm eating it. It's like, oh, it tastes great. But then I don't remember. The next day I don't remember it.
I see that. I may need to revisit Logan because everyone tells me I'm crazy on that one. And I like Hugh Jackman and you're right. That's sort of a smaller bite at a, it's a lot of, it's more, it's less of the CGI and more of the story. So maybe I need to revisit that one. I will say, and I don't really understand the DC versus Marvel thing as much. I just like watching these, but I got to say the two that I didn't like, and I think they're both DC. I didn't like Justice League and I didn't like
Justice League was terrible. Yeah.
And the other one I didn't like was, Batman versus Superman.
Well, like I told you, and I think I told you about this on Twitter too. You saw the theatrical release, which is the one they show on HBO stuff. You have to, before you make final judgment on that, you have to see the Ultimate Edition. And it's not just like this, fan thing. There's an additional 30 minutes and, it's the stuff that they yanked out of that movie for time purposes.
So it changes it.
Immensely changes the whole story. Huge plot points are missing in it too, as well. And Kevin Smith, from Clerks and stuff like that, fanatical superhero guy. Actually, I think he even does DC's like daily thing on their streaming service now. he reviewed the version you saw, the theatrical version of Batman vs. Superman, hated it, said, you know, and then they released the ultimate cut and he's totally loved it.
It's a different flow.
And there's some, like I said, I don't want to give spoilers away, but there's some major, major plot things that happen into it. You're like, how could they leave this out? My biggest worry when that movie happened was, I was like, when they cast Ben Affleck as Batman, I'm like, oh my gosh, you got to be kidding me. Cause he was like awful on Daredevil like 10 years ago. And I was like, I just don't think he's going to be great. And to me, he was actually one of the best things about that movie now, you know, I thought he was fantastic. Yeah.
I think Ben Affleck's fine as Batman. And, I'll hold off on making final judgment till I do see that. But those were the two that I can think of, and I can't really think of any others. Like, even Logan, I didn't love it, but I liked it.
What about Man of Steel, which is the first of that? You know, did you see that the Superman one?
I did. I've seen almost all these.
Okay.
But I think I kind of liked it, but I didn't love it.
Nolan was a big hand in that one too, mm-hmm. as well. So they knew that the success they had off of The Dark Knight and Batman Begins, so they brought him in trying to make more of a realistic version, like if Superman was a real person, you know, versus like this superhero entity thing.
And
you know?
I think Cavill, I think he's fine as Superman.
Yeah,
I don't have any problem with him, and I don't have any problem with Affleck as Batman, although I guess he's not Batman anymore.
Well, we'll see. The time will, you know, that's the big what's gonna, you know,
I think he's fine. I literally like almost all of them. I've gotten to the point where I don't find too many that I love anymore. And I think it's just because I'm fatigued from. I like Deadpool. But the rest of them are, I'm kind of, ugh. I'll go see them because I feel like I have to, and my son wants to watch them, and I like one of the movies. But the Avengers, I'm exhausted by the Avengers. This is the last Avengers. Yeah. Everybody loved it, and I was just like, oh, it was fine. It was entertaining, but man, it was just too much. A thousand different characters flying at me, you know, and I just... I don't know. If you're not obsessed, maybe it's just too much, but...
See, I told you from the beginning of the show we'd get to superheroes. I knew it. Yeah. All these Reds fans are like, all right, no, don't have Freak Base on again. You just sit there and talk about superheroes the whole time with Chad.
Well, you're my go-to guy on those questions because I know you really care and I trust your judgment. So one more time. We can see you at the Southgate House Revival, the 23rd,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, day after Thanksgiving, Friday, November 23rd. It's all ages show. I think the show starts at 8 with Strange Mechanics, and then we'll be hitting the stage after that. So it's always a good time. So we'd love to see hopefully a lot of Red Leg Nation out there that night.
Yeah, tell us tell us where we can find you. We've talked a lot about social media. Tell everybody where we can find you.
Well, I like to hang, you know, with many of you Red people on Twitter. You know, it's just at Freakbass, FreakBass. So give me a follow there. Follow us, you know, on Spotify, Freakbass at Spotify, which would be great. We're just kind of getting to that world a lot here in the last year or so. And on the old Facebook, it's Freakbass Music. And at Instagram, also at Freakbass, too, FreakBass. So hopefully I'll see you at one of those magical places online.
And also, we have Red Leg Nation. Is the reason we called it Red Leg Nation in the beginning is because it's a way to sort of connect the entire nation. All Reds fans aren't right in Cincinnati. And so you're constantly touring. You're everywhere. So you guys need to connect with Freakbass and go see him and you know, let him know that Red Leg Nation Radio is where you heard him and support him because you're doing great work, man. You're doing fantastic work. And
I appreciate that.
Likewise,
what you're doing too as well. I mean, you're supplying for us obsessed. You know, talking about being on the road, it's like I'm always looking through my podcatcher. You know, on Apple. As soon as you guys go live on Friday, I'm either on the road or at the gym with you blaring in my ears, telling me what's going on. So it's a very important thing, as I'm sure many of your listeners will tell you.
Well, I appreciate that, and and it just means a lot that you listen to the podcast as well, because I'm a big fan and I can't believe it's been since the 2017. You haven't been here all season long. We got to get you back on quickly because we had a good response to the last time you were here, and looking forward to having you back soon, man.
Oh, anytime. Well, I appreciate it. Yeah, anytime I'll come in. And anytime you want to talk about the Reds, I'm always game for that. Oh. Like I wear people out on the my poor guys in the band. I tell them all this stuff, and they're sitting there like cross-eyed, looking at me, like trying to like humor me. You could tell in the van that they're trying to be nice, but they're like, you know, it's tough for them. So it's good to have a place to get this all out.
Yeah, that's the benefit of Red Lake Nation Radio, because we're all of us. If you're listening to this podcast, you're one of the gang, because we're all just completely obsessed with the Cincinnati Reds. That'll do it for this week's episode of Red Leg Nation Radio, the world's most dangerous podcast. You can find us at Red Leg Radio on Twitter, at Red Leg Nation, obviously, on Twitter. I'm at Dotson C on Twitter. He's at Freak Bass, FreekBass. And follow him everywhere, and certainly let him know that you're a listener or a viewer, as it were. You can subscribe to the podcast everywhere you find podcasts. We're there. Please subscribe to us. Give us a rating, review, only if it's a good one. If you like us, talk about us. As we say, if you don't like us, keep your mouth shut. Freak Bass, always fun, buddy. You're coming on a lot sooner next time, because I've got to really, we got to talk about this this whole Avengers thing.
Oh, well, you know, the new one's coming out next summer, so it's going to be a big, big deal. They're supposed to be releasing the title here, like, and the first teaser trailer here in the next 2 to 3 weeks. So, you know, it's going to be happening soon, so get ready.
Yeah, I'm getting ready.
I know you are.
For Freak Bass and Ben Affleck, this is Chad Dotson saying, so long, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Red Leg Nation Radio from RedLegNation.com. Subscribe to Red Leg Nation Radio on iTunes or through your favorite podcast app, and join us for discussion of all things Reds at RedLegNation.com. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.